Now, Parenting the Screenager is the practical guide for parents trying to understand and indeed parent the modern teenager. I'm delighted to be joined on the line now by Richard Hogan, the author of Parenting the Screenager, a practical guide for parents. Good morning to you, Richard. Good to talk to you today.
Good morning, Pam. Thank you for having me on.
Tell me about this, because I know a lot of people out there will be very interested in this, because it seems like, you know, these kids thought we were all the bee's knees. All of a sudden, they got a smartphone, and they don't even want to look up from it now.
Well, I think teenagers have always, you know, maybe perhaps, you know, as a child, your parents are the classes in the family, but in the teenage years is about maybe relying more on the peer world. But now on top of that, we have technology interrupting communication. So we're in a very tricky situation with the teenagers that, and the children that are rattling around their houses, because there is a sense of separation between the adult world and the teenage and child world.
And is that inevitable, do you think, Richard? And is it the way things should be to some degree?
Well, I think with technology, we can't outsource our parenting to it. We can't deceive ourselves thinking that this is a benign activity, because it's not. Our children need to be minded as they're going through the world of social media. Just because maybe, you know, when I grew up, we didn't have any of this stuff. So it's very easy as a parent, I'm a parent of three children myself, to say, oh, well, I don't understand it, so I'm just going to ignore it. But we can no longer kind of deceive ourselves with that mentality. We have to parent this. We need to bring boundaries back into our lives as parents, and we have to protect our children, because, and I'm not trying to sensationalize technology, it's here to stay, and it's important that our children have a healthy relationship with it, and as the parents, we're the ones who instill that culture.
Now, I'd like to believe that I'm a little bit techie and I'm into technical stuff, right. But we had a couple of kids from Transition Year chatting to me last week on the program, Richard, and they were talking about apps I never even heard of, you know?
Well, yeah. It's rapidly changing field, friend. Yeah. I mean, every couple of weeks a new thing comes out. Like, you know, so let's say Facebook was the huge thing there for 5 years. Now then it moves on to Instagram and now Snapchat and now TikTok. Mm. So it's just a rapidly evolving landscape. And as parents, we have to upskill ourselves. That's why I wrote the book. You know, I write for the Examiner, and I write every Thursday about all the issues I see in my own clinic. And I was seeing a lot of this stuff come into the clinic, so I thought it would be a good idea to write this out in the Examiner. And then the volume of emails I got from parents asking me, can I talk about this? And can I look at this area with, you know, gaming, and can I look at online pornography, and can I look at cyberbullying? So, the issues were coming into me every week. So that's why I wrote the book, to outline strategies for all these modern phenomena that is in the teenage world.
I think that it's the easy availability of pornography that will have a very lasting effect on future generations. Would you go along with that?
I wrote an article about that recently. I write about this an awful lot, and I'm a huge advocate for bringing in policy here that is robust and that protects our children from pornography, because I see it. I only dealt with an issue a couple of days ago, not this Monday, where an 8-year-old was dealing with, had been viewing pornography in school. And the detrimental effect, you know, I mean, this isn't just, you know, some psychotherapist talking about, something that is, you know, current. This is, we all know the research is there. It doesn't take a huge intellectual jump to say that a vulnerable mind that views heavy, hardcore material, it warps its view on women, it dehumanizes women, and it erodes their sense of intimacy. So when they move forward in life, this can be a lifelong thing, as you said there, Fran. This can have a lifelong impact on their ability to forge healthy relationships.
Absolutely, because the kind of pornography that they're exposed to now is so awful, and violence, and all sorts of things involved there, you know.
And voyeur, and the Uncredible case, you know, was found to have incredible material, and some of it bestiality. I mean, a child should not be able to do this stuff, and I can't really believe that our government is supine while our children are only one click away from very hardcore material. I think we need, as parents, to say that, you know, the onus mustn't be on a data commissioner. I mean, the volume is just too big. It needs to be on the sites that are making millions, trillions of dollars off this stuff. And we, as parents, you know, I'm not a prude, but we need to save our children, because when I was a kid in Cork, growing up in the 80s and 90s, you know, you'd have to go into a shop seller that you knew and buy a magazine.
Yeah.
You'd never do it because you'd be mortified. So So our children are so anonymous now. They can just click anything and they're in the middle of all this stuff. And it's disturbing their minds, without doubt.
And in some cases, they don't even have to go looking. It's presented to them from various sources, you know, which is...
For sure, yeah.
The tragic death of Caroline Flack, again bringing up that notion of bullying and intimidation online as well. Is that something you're coming across all of the time, Richard?
Cyberbullying, yeah. Cyberbullying is something I see an awful lot of. And it's much more insidious than bullying, traditional bullying. So let's just say in school, you're being targeted by a group of boys or whatever it is, and they're saying nasty things to you. When you go home, generally you're safe and you have that space where you're free from the tormentors. But now, with cyberbullying, you're never out of their reach. And parents need to really be able to be a safe space to go to when children are experiencing this. Because, as you said there with Caroline Flack, I mean, it is devastating to a young psyche to be targeted. And it's very subtly, see, what I see is like games like Fortnite or, you know, the Xbox. What they do is, what they're doing now with bullying is that they're excluding people from the groups. And this is how young teenagers communicate. They go home and they go on their Xbox or they go on their PlayStation and they join groups together from school. But now they're being targeted by being excommunicated, let's say, from these groups. So it's very subtle. It's a very hard thing to kind of to legislate for as a school, let's say, or parents. But it's insidious and it needs minding.
And the normal way that teenagers would have socialized in the past, I mean, you make the point that has been interrupted completely by technology.
Mm. It has, yeah. No, I think, you know, we celebrated the arrival of technology. You know, we celebrated the iPhones. When Steve Jobs stood up there, we celebrated this, like, you know, I think like maybe a Trojan horse. We welcomed it into our worlds with open arms, and it has dramatically changed how we interact, how we communicate. Even language has been interrupted by it. Communication is abbreviated. Everything is rapid. You know, children can't even watch TV now because they can't handle the ads. I mean, everything has to be incredibly quick and instantaneous. And this has interrupted how they communicate with each other, for sure.
Again, speaking to those transition year students, they were quite open with me, but they spoke about the secrecy among teenagers, and that if you're seen to run to your parent about a bullying issue or whatever, you're seen as being a rat, and that causes even more isolation. Again, is that something you're familiar with, Richard?
Yeah, that word rat is something that, it's a real bugbear of mine. And I think what I'd always say to parents, you need to be a safe space when your children come to you with their problems, because if you overreact and you ring the school and you engage with the school in a very negative way, you know, you're creating a huge problem, a rupture for your child there even further. What I say in the book is you need to be on their side. Or by side, you need to be by their side, not on their side. When you're on their side, you too are becoming bullied by the children and you too are overreacting to the situation. You need to be calm, safe space for them to come to talk to you. And so when they do tell you, you're not going to, you know, overreact, so you don't force them into that kind of, you know, situation where they could be viewed as a rat.
The genie is out of the bottle on this. It can never be sort of put back.
No. And that's what the book is really about, Fran. It's not sensationalizing technology. It's not trying to get rid of technology. It's a very practical guide about this is what's going on at the moment and this is how we parent it. And I start the book with boundaries. Because boundaries are what, you know, they're so important for family life and to create a healthy and happy children as they move forward in life. We have to go back to old traditional forms of parenting where we actually bring in a policy in the family. We say, look, you can go on your phone, you can go on your game, but you can't go on it all night. Here's what you can do. And you set out the culture in your family. Because I see it too often with teenagers coming to my clinic where everybody's out of control. The parents and the teenagers are out of control. They're wondering, why are we all on their devices? Because everybody's on their devices.
And I was going to say that to you. I mean, sometimes we are the worst role models of all as a parent, because we're on the bloody things all the time as well. You know?
And teenagers have had such a heightened sense of hypocrisy and injustice. So when you're there on your phone scrolling through, thinking, get off the game, you know, it's a very hard position to put yourself into, because they won't listen to you. They won't respect you. And that's why a family needs to have a policy. They need to have boundaries. And these boundaries teach the children about the do's and don'ts of the world. And it sets them out into the world as adults. So they can compromise, because as you know and I know, Fran, we have to compromise every day.
Yeah, for sure.
We know that there's consequences to our behaviours.
It's called A Practical Guide for Parents of the Modern Child. I presume it's available in all the good bookstores,
yeah,
Richard.
It is available. Yeah, it is available, yeah.
Yeah, and there, the irony of this, but I'm going to ask anyway, is it available online?
You can't be for it. It is available online.
Right.
I just don't be online too long looking for it.
All right, Richard, really good to talk to you today, and thank you very much indeed. Gurmeel Mahagat. That is Richard Hogan there, and it's called A Practical Guide for Parents of the Modern Child. And Richard, indeed, he writes every Thursday, as he said there, in the Irish Examiner, and a regular contributor on radio. I'm sure you've seen him on TV over the time as well, where he offers strategies, I suppose, on how to overcome teenage mental health issues, and indeed that whole business of screen time and one thing and another. And if you're a parent, I'm sure you're struggling with this because you use smartphones yourself and you're wondering about the role and, you know, how it changes. Look, go out and buy the book. It's the best advice I suppose I can give you.